from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, in our next hour, we'll continue our election 2016 coverage with debates over two California ballot measures. Proposition 56 raises the tobacco tax from one of the lowest in the country to one of the highest. Then we move on to Proposition 55, which would extend to another 12 years temporary income tax increases on the wealthy approved by voters back in 2012. Join us for Forum. It's next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of this morning's Forum program as we continue our election coverage for what's on your ballot in 2016 in November. And it could get soon a lot more expensive to be a smoker in California. Under Proposition 56 on the November ballot, the tax on a pack of cigarettes would go from 87 cents to $2.87. Health advocates say the measure will discourage smoking and raise money for health care and smoking prevention. The tobacco industry, which opposes the measure, calls the proposition a tax hike grab by insurance companies that would divert public funds away from schools and social programs. We're going to hear from both sides on the issue in this Forum segment. Let me tell you who is joining us. We want to first welcome Dr. Michael Ong, spokesperson for Yes on Proposition 56. He chairs the State of California's Tobacco Education and Research Oversight Committee. And welcome, Michael Ong.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have David Spady with us, and he is in opposition to Proposition 56, he's State Director of Americans for Prosperity. Welcome, David Spady.
Glad to be with you.
Glad to have you both. And let me begin, if I can. We always begin with the plus side on this, or the positive side, the support of the people who put the proposition forward. And Dr. Michael Ong, let's first of all talk about what we're trying to do with this extra money in terms of where it's going to go and how it's going to be spent.
Sure. Well, I think what's important for people to recognize is that tobacco use is still the leading preventable cause of death in California. And there are a lot of people in California who still smoke, despite all the progress that we've made. Over 3 million Californians still smoke. Over 40,000 people still die in California each year from tobacco-related diseases. And we know that 17,000 kids will start smoking each year, and a third of those will die from a tobacco-related disease over their lifetimes. And in terms of what this particular tax would do, it would increase the tobacco tax from being 37th in the nation to 9th. It's not as though this is a tremendous hike, but on the other hand, we know that the tobacco tax is one of the most important ways to reduce tobacco use because there is a well-known relationship that every 10% increase in price will reduce tobacco consumption by 4%, and that reduction is even higher among children.
We should also mention this is a constitutional amendment and a state statute, both, and it's also on ballots, so similar measures in Missouri and in New Mexico and in Colorado. And you're also, in effect, saying if you have this tax, people are going to simply not only buy less cigarettes, they're going to smoke less cigarettes. And with all the criticism that tobacco companies had trying to bring youth into smoking cigarettes, and by the way, this applies not only to cigarettes but other tobacco products and electronic cigarettes, this is going to reduce tobacco use, and it's also going to therefore make people healthier from your perspective, yeah?
That is correct. The other thing is that in terms of where the dollars will go from this tax increase, part of it will go to reinvesting into tobacco prevention education programs that California has done very well since 1988, but we need to do even better to help those individuals who are still smoking and prevent others from doing so. The other thing is that these dollars will go to Medi-Cal, which is our public insurance program for low-income individuals. And if people do not know, taxpayers through Medi-Cal pay over $3.5 billion annually to work on tobacco-related diseases. So in terms of being able to reduce those costs, getting people to quit, stopping people from starting will be really important. The other thing is that every dollar this proposition puts into Medi-Cal will also be matched by the federal government. So it actually leverages what we do.
Let me go to David Spady, who opposes this measure and, again, is State Director for Americans for Prosperity. David Spady, I mean, your side says this is basically a $1.4 billion tax hike grab, and it's not what it appears to be. In fact, you're saying only 13% goes to help smokers or to stop kids from smoking, despite what you just heard from Dr. Ong?
Right. Well, and that is spelled out very clearly in the measure. It only allocates 13% to tobacco prevention. So, you know, first of all, we're a taxpayer advocacy organization. So, you know, with taxes, we all want to know if it's absolutely necessary for government to take someone's money, and then what the benefit to the taxpayer or the person paying the tax is in the case of their investment. With Proposition 56, you know, it's a misguided tax measure as far as we're concerned, because in essence, it really is a giant subsidy for insurance companies at the expense of those on the lowest economic rung.
How does it subsidize insurance companies?
Well, there's 82% of this money goes to basically offset Medi-Cal costs through insurance companies. And so the bottom lines for insurance companies and hospitals are helped, but very little is done to actually deal with tobacco prevention. So it's sort of one of these things we view as almost like a bait and switch deceptive measure that you know, is rolled out as something that's going to prevent tobacco use, but in reality it's a way for a large industry, an insurance industry, to basically grab a subsidy.
And yet you got kind of an uphill fight. You got over 60% right now polling in favor of this measure, and the fact is it's supported with millions of dollars by the American Cancer Society, where most of the money on your side is coming from Philip Morris and R.J. Reynolds, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a large education campaign that needs to be done, and that's why, you know, with measures like this, there's, you know, usually a reason why something ends up on the ballot. Sometimes it's for altruistic reasons, and sometimes it's for personal gain. And when you look at who's to gain, if you follow the money and you read the fine print, it's very clear that insurance companies and special interests are the big winners in this. And that those who are smokers, who tend to be the poorest in our state, are the ones that are going to be, you know, have the burden of paying for this large insurance subsidy.
What about all this profit to the insurance industry, Dr. Michael Long?
So I think that there are a couple of things that I would mention in response to Ms. Raspati's comments. The first thing to recognize is that Medi-Cal is not an insurance company. It is actually us as the state of California that is actually paying for this, and taxpayers pay for that. So in terms of where this money is going, it is going to treat tobacco-related diseases. The problem in terms of Mr. Spady's comments is that he actually has no idea how to work with people who are current smokers. It's really hard to quit. And in terms of actually having a prevention program, you not only have to do what we currently are doing in terms of what we fund through the Department of Public Health, you need to work with the smokers. And that is where working with healthcare systems to provide smokers with medications that can help them curb their cravings and actually successfully quit will be critical, in addition to all the harms that the tobacco industry has caused. I think it is really quite interesting to hear Mr. Spady talk about a large industry when this is a huge for-profit industry that is basically taking dollars out of California and hurting those poor people by having them continue to smoke. The goal is not to have people continue to smoke. The goal is to help them quit.
Well, David Spady, your group also says, I know you're concerned about how taxpayer money is being spent here, that this measure is going to mean $147 million in overhead and bureaucracy?
Yeah, that's obviously another big problem. Why do we need to create another large bureaucracy and do so at taxpayer expense? But, you know, when we talk about this idea of preventing tobacco use by increasing costs and using that as a mechanism to decrease tobacco use, you read something like Proposition 56, and the devil's really in the details, because as you read it, you realize that it's designed primarily for the benefit of insurance companies and for hospitals and special interests, and it's not about tobacco prevention.
But what about Michael Long says that you're talking about Medicare? That's not necessary. That's taxpayers' insurance. That's the citizens' insurance. It's not a private insurance company.
Well, it's supplemented by that as well, so it's both. But at the bottom line is that this measure does nothing to mandate that more people be put on Medicare. It does nothing to bring down no mandate that the costs are reduced. So there is no mandate in here that says that will actually happen. I mean, there's no mandate that says this money can't be spent on any number of ways that. That Medi-Cal dollars are spent, including you know, anything from a Christmas bonus to somebody's salary increase.
Right. I want to bring our listeners into this because I think we've heard a fair amount of reasoning from both sides here in terms of what this measure can do or what this, why this measure should be opposed. I'd like to hear now from our listeners. It's only a half-hour segment, so let me get you all involved in this and hear your opinions and also bring forth any questions or comments you might have. You can join us now, and we invite you to do that. Our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. Invite your calls and would indeed like to hear from you. Again, the toll-free number to join us is 866-733-6786. Other ways you can communicate with us, of course, you can email us, forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum, or go to our Facebook page. But we would like to hear from you and like to know how you weigh in on California voters having a tobacco tax hike with Proposition 56, talking with David Spady, who is in opposition, State Director for Americans for Prosperity, and Dr. Michael Ong, who is the spokesperson for Yes on 56 and chair of the State of California's Tobacco Education and Research Oversight Committee. Here's Henry, who writes, the tobacco companies have lied for decades and have been caught red-handed doing so. As a behavioral scientist who has studied the effects of drugs on behavior, I know how addictive cigarettes and other tobacco products are and the devastation they cause for individuals and society. The tobacco company should go the way of the dinosaurs, and hopefully Prop 56 will aid in that effort, or at least in California. Another person in favor of Pro 56 writes, really, really bad decisions in general should be taxed. What do you say to that, David Spady?
Well, first of all, we're not in the business with Americans for Prosperity defending tobacco use. We're looking at this particular law and who's benefiting from this. And the profit motive for this is most evident in how this law was written to basically circumvent the constitutional requirement that a portion of, you know, all tax revenues collected in the state go to education funding. And this circumvents that. And if the industry was primarily concerned about, finding people, as the one person just commented, to change their behavior, then they wouldn't care if schools were going to get that $600 million instead of the insurance industry.
Yeah, you think the schools are being cheated. I think you've said that publicly. Your group has, haven't they?
Well, we think they're being cheated in that, they're circumventing the law, which, again, comes back to this profit motive that, and it's more about subsidizing the insurance industry than doing what we would normally do with a new tax, which is to take a portion of that money and give it to schools.
All right, let me bring in our callers, and we begin with Edith. Good morning.
Good morning. So I am enjoying this conversation, but not in a good way. I am very tired. I'm a smoker. I'm really tired of smoking ordinances and people thinking about smokers as bad people.
Or pariah, maybe, more than bad people. Yes.
Right. Every other addiction in this country is treated as a healthcare issue. Smoking is treated as a sin, a personal failing. And this, I have heard nothing in this ballot measure that will address that it is expensive to quit smoking, and that I don't know a single smoker who isn't someone who wants to quit, but it's difficult, very difficult. It is expensive. Why are these monies being generated not being used for making sure that it is free and easy to quit smoking?
Let me go to Dr. Michael Long, who is, again, the spokesperson for Yes on 56. Notwithstanding the shame with smoking and perhaps the pariah feelings towards smokers, the caller is expressing, I think, a good deal of indignation as well that this money should be going to more important things.
So I couldn't agree with the caller more. It is important to work with smokers to get them to quit. It is one of the most difficult addictions that we have to work with, and I agree that it needs to be a healthcare issue, which is part of the reason why these dollars are going to Medi-Cal to work with a large proportion of smokers, since Medi-Cal's population has a 20% smoking prevalence rate, which is nearly double what our typical population is in California. In terms of what actually happens in terms of working with smokers, it's important to make sure that they are supported. We know that while it's true that most smokers do want to quit, and that's why we want to help them, it's also recognized that most smokers do it without assistance. So in terms of being able to provide smokers the ability to get access to medications, Medi-Cal actually, Governor Brown just signed this into law, ensures that Medi-Cal will be providing smoking cessation benefits for smokers, and that's something that is going to be important to make sure that we be one of the most difficult addictions that is out there.
Well, let me thank Edith for her call, but let me also go to another anti-56 listener. This is Mike who writes, and get your response, Michael Long. Smokers who tend to be poorer and less educated than the average Californian are addicted to nicotine, so taxing cigarettes means that they must cut out other things, like healthy food, out of their budgets. To me, this is cruelty, and while I agree that teens are most susceptible to picking up the nicotine habit, they will likely just steal cigarettes or the cash to buy them from mom's purse. By the way, we ought to mention that there is has been a major campaign by the tobacco companies, of course, to get and hook young smokers. But what do you say to that caller or that listener, Dr. Ron?
So I think that there are two points that I would make about it. So the first one is about those individuals who don't have high incomes that are smoking. So in terms of somebody who smokes a pack a day currently, that's about $5 or $6 a pack, and if they're smoking that every day, that's $2,000 out of their pocket that if they had quit smoking, they could use for something else. And so that's what we want to achieve. We want these people to be able to quit. Of course, we are concerned about individuals who may be getting cigarettes in ways that they shouldn't be getting, and that's part of the reason why what Mr. Spady mentioned in terms of administration, we actually have very strong enforcement groups in California that focus on preventing illicit sales, that prevent smuggling from happening. We have one of the most high technological stamps to prevent smuggling across California and other borders. So in terms of this type of initiative, in terms of what it would actually do to reduce tobacco use overall, we want to work with those smokers, and that's the reason why we are putting these dollars towards health care as well as the prevention programs that we know that have been very successful. We know it takes a lot to get people to successfully quit, and we want to bring everything to bear to be able to help them.
And let me get another caller. Steve, that's you. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Good morning. A few points. It's sort of ironic that the person who's speaking against Prop 56 is talking about following the money and who's going to benefit when they are funded mostly by the tobacco industry. Secondly, when he's talking about, making it that it's not doing much for the tobacco anti-tobacco education, He's ignoring the fact that it has already been proven that increasing the tax on cigarettes does, in fact, decrease people smoking. And then to address two of the anti-callers who just spoke, when they talk about smokers being a pariah, it's actually just the opposite, whereas people who have other types of addictions can't even dare mention in public that they have these addictions because there is such shame involved, whereas people who are smokers are the only ones who dare to do such things in public. And secondly, in response to the idea that it's increasing the cost and there's nothing available to people who can't afford to try to quit, you know, the American Lung Association has programs to help people, and I, by myself, who is a health professional, am always, you know, when I ask people on their health questionnaire whether or not they smoke, act as a person who can encourage people to stop smoking and provide support to them, both emotionally and practically. So,
Steve, you've raised a lot of points, and I do want to give an opportunity to David Spady to address the points you've raised here. The central one, of course, again, being David Spady, all the money that's being profited by the tobacco company by not having this tax.
Well, again, we're not, defenders of tobacco companies. We're looking at this law and how it's worded and who's benefiting. And, you know, tobacco use has been decreasing. We know that. It could be for a number of different reasons, including perhaps the price margins of it, but certainly education and some of this with public shaming and things like that that have decreased those numbers. But, you know, the idea that we have taxes levied by government to change behaviors, whether that's, you know, smoking or you know, sugar products, things like that, things that are actually legal, is something that we don't agree with either. You know, if you look at the authors of 56 and this concern they have about tobacco use, you know, an honest ballot measure would simply ask voters to make tobacco use illegal. And not play games with the issue to basically raise money for other purposes and just assign, a small, very small portion of this money to actual tobacco prevention.
All right, I want to bring another caller on here, and let me go to Linda. Linda, join us.
Yes, hello. Thank you, Dr. Ong, for promoting this bill. Our lower socioeconomic people are always at the short end of receiving health care and access to health care. So if we can get more money to Medi-Cal, and that will help these people to be able to have access, to be able to stop smoking, that's what we definitely need to do. Also, in terms of prevention, we need to start earlier. We need to start in our middle and high schools. There are good curriculum. We need help at the school sites to be able to get these programs. Stanford University just came out with a whole tobacco prevention toolkit for schools. Dr. Neville Golden and his colleagues are doing great work over there to get these out to the school sites. So thank you, because we never have enough services for our lower socioeconomic people, and this bill, I think, will definitely help that to happen.
Thank All right, Linda, you. I'll let your statement stand. I thank you for the call and go right to Galen. Galen, join us. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is a question for Mr. Spady. The Sacramento Bee and the Chronicle and independent fact checkers have said resoundingly that the big tobacco companies that are inundating our airwaves with these ads are misleading and lying to voters. You are there today on behalf of Prop 50, on behalf of the No campaign. How do you justify these claims? And please explain that to the listeners.
Well, I think you need to read the proposition for yourself. If you read it, clearly what these ads are saying is spelled out in the text of the measure. The percentages that are allocated for hospitals and Medi-Cal, the percentages that are actually used for tobacco prevention. You know, one of the things that has happened with the tobacco revenues decreasing is that revenues for some of these special interest groups from current tobacco taxes and things like the master tobacco settlement have been decreasing. And so they're looking for other ways to backfill that and to replace those revenues. So part of it even spells that out very clearly. They even use that language in there and reference that. So. You know, the devils are in the devil is in the details often, and we just encourage people to go and read the measure themselves.
Yeah, you know, I'll take you at your word here, David Spady, that you're concerned about the measure being poorly written or not having in it what is in the best interest of taxpayers, and you're concerned about the taxpayers in large part. But can you really separate essentially your opposition from all the tobacco money that's going in to support this measure?
Well, you know, our special interest is the taxpayer and the citizens of California and how their money is being spent by government. And when, you know, special interests are benefiting, particularly at the expense of those, again, on the lowest economic rung, you know, we oppose that. And so we're in opposition to this for, you know, several different reasons that I've spelled out today.
Now, let me read one comment here from Greg, who says, tobacco use is a large contributor to the public cost of health care. I just think it's fair that tobacco users bear at least some of the cost of their choice to use tobacco. If it makes tobacco more expensive, let the manufacturers lower the prices. Then they, too, will bear some of the cost. We'll conclude with that, and I want to thank both David Spady and Dr. Michael Long for their participation. And we will continue our participation for your benefit in What's on Your Ballot, as we take a look in the segment that's coming up at Proposition 55, which would extend Prop 30, income taxes to fund schools and healthcare. Stay tuned for that. I'm Michael Krasny.